Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. As I'm sure you do as well, I have some wonderful memories of my parents growing up. And one of my favorite memories of my dad has to do with the mornings. Because it seems like no matter how early I would get up in the morning, my dad was already up. And usually as I came out of my room, and we had a basement, and my room was in the basement, I'd come into the family room in the basement, and my dad would already be there. And he'd be walking back and forth, holding his Bible and reading it. And sometimes I'd come in and just sit down in a chair on the couch and just watch him for a little bit. Usually he walked with his eyes closed, a path that he was used to. And then when he'd open his eyes, he would see me sitting there and he'd just give me a smile. He'd close his eyes and go back to what he was doing, reading his Bible. Sometimes he would be working on memorizing his verses. Daily, he would spend time in God's Word because he loved God's Word. He read it, he studied it, he taught it, he preached it, he shared it with his family, and it shaped his life. It was an integral part of who he was, and he wanted to spend time with it every day because he loved the Word of God. And I'd like to imagine as I was reading and thinking about and studying the 119th Psalm for today's sermon that the writer of this psalm was somewhat similar to my dad. That the writer of this psalm also had grown to love the Word of God, to love what it had done for him in his life, a word that he spent time in every single day, a word that he reflected on. And eventually, he wrote a 176-verse psalm, a reflection on God's work in his life through his word. Today, we are going to look together at Psalm 119. We're just going to look at a few of those 176 verses. We're going to look at verse 9 through 16. We could say that we are dealing with Psalm 119 today, but it is more accurate because this is the Word of God that Psalm 119 is going to deal with us. Because you see, when we begin to read God's Word, it begins to ask questions of us. It begins to ask us, well, what do you believe about God's Word? What is your attitude towards God's Word? What are you going to do about God's Word. So as we read the scripture together this morning, may our hearts be open to see how God wants to deal with us through his word. Again, 119, I invite you to turn there with me if you'd like. It's on page 510 if you want to read along with me in your pew Bibles. Verses 9 through 16, and as we have been doing, I invite you to keep your Bible open because I'm going to be going through this verse by verse and talking briefly about each one of these verses, and so you'll be able to follow along. But first, let me just read this 8-verse section. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given me. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. I can imagine as he is writing this psalm that he's reflecting on what it was like for him when he was a young man. How can a young person stay pure? He's probably thinking back how hard it was as a young person with all the temptations that were before him. How could he stay pure? How was he able to live the kind of life that his heavenly Father wanted him to live? And as he thinks back on his life to when he was a young person, he says to himself, you know, the way I did that, the way that I was able to keep following God, the way that I got started down this journey, this path of loving God's word, is it began with obedience. It began with saying that this is something that I'm going to commit myself to. What God tells me through his word, I will obey. I will do what God asks of me. And as he thinks back over his life, he says, that's how I've been able to stay in step with God, because I've been obedient to his word. Now look at verse 10. Now, it's hard to do that. Again, this wasn't easy throughout my life. I've tried hard to find you. There were times that I felt lost. There were times that I messed up. There were times that I went wandering off on my own. I read something in God's word and I said, you know, I really don't want to do that. I really don't want to go that way. I want to go my own way. It's hard sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to understand God's word, to understand what God is asking of us. It can be complicated. And especially when we try to apply it to our daily and personal situation, it's like I read something in the Bible, I'm not sure, though, how that applies to the decision I need to make. And the psalmist is acknowledging that this is not easy. But still, I ask, Lord, don't let me wander from your commands. Don't let me go wandering off on my own path. The scripture says that the way of God is, and the picture is, a narrow way. It's a narrow way. It's well-defined. There are borders on each side, guardrails, if you will, that help keep us from stepping out into territory that's dangerous, that has consequences, because those are the areas of sin. And God says, stay within the guardrail. Stay on the narrow way. And the psalmist is saying, you know, there are times that I looked over there and I saw my friends walking this huge path of do what you want, you know, live your life as you will. And that was just great. There were no guardrails over there. Nobody telling me how I was supposed to live. I could just do my own thing. And you know, there are times I went over there, I went wandering off. But I have recognized, the psalmist is saying, in my life, that I continually, every time I came back, God put me back on the path. God was glad to have me there. And so my prayer, my ongoing prayer has been, let me not wander. Let me stay focused on what you have for me. And your word is what teaches me what that may be. We come to verse 11. And I think here, and really through the rest of the verses, he's giving practical advice from his own life on how to do this. How do you continue to obey the word? How do you keep from wandering? How do you continue doing things that can be hard to do, hard to understand? How do you continue doing things with when the world is off doing something else and it looks pretty appealing what they're doing? Well, here are some ways, and each verse has a little bit different way in which we can live this way. The first thing he says, verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart. I've hidden your word in my heart. Now, what does it mean to hide God's word in our heart? What's interesting, the word hide here can also be translated treasure. And the reason that the word works both ways is the world that they in which the psalmist lived. Because if you had a treasure, if you had something valuable, guess what you had to do with it if you didn't want it stolen? You can't just take it down to First National Bank and put it in your safe deposit box. You had to hide it. You had to find a way to keep it hidden. So the word for to hide and the word for to treasure something was used interchangeably in the Hebrew text. And so it is actually in the Greek text. If you remember, Jesus talks about how we are to treasure things in our heart and not treasure the things of the world, but treasure the things of God. So what he says is that the word of God, because it is so important to me, it is so rich in my life, it is something that I want to hang on to, I need to hide it in my heart. I need it to be here, not just here externally, but here in my heart, because it is a treasure. And that's what I do with treasure. That's what I do with things that are important to me. I hide them so I know where they are, so I can go get them when I need them. And that is the metaphor, the image that he uses for the Word of God. So that's one way to keep from wandering, to help us to obey the Word of God so that we may not sin, as he said, is to hide the Word in my heart. Now, in order to hide it in your heart, of course, you have to be reading it. You have to be thinking about it. You have to be meditating on it. You have to be studying it. You have to understand it. Not just to read it and go, okay, that's what it says, but what does it really mean? That's the next verse, verse 12. Teach me your decrees. And the word decree here is just a synonym for the Word of God, in particular, the Word of God that gives instruction. The Word of God is God's revelation to us. It is God revealing himself to us. And sometimes the revelatory word is a word of instruction, like the Ten Commandments. And so words like commandments or law or decrees are used for those parts of God's word that give instruction. And that's what he's focused on here, the words that we're to obey. So he says, teach me your decrees. That is, teach me what the deeper meaning is of the things that you ask me to do, because I need to understand. In the New Testament, we have Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. He's teaching the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, if you remember, Jesus at one point says, he has a series of these statements. He says, you have heard it said, but I say to you. You remember that? He says, you have heard it said, do not commit murder. Now he's speaking primarily to Jewish people. Where have they heard that? Where have I heard do not commit murder? It's in the Ten Commandments, right? It's number 6. Okay? Do not murder. That's what you've heard. That's what God's word says. It's true. But I say to you, now the but there is not, I say to you, go ahead and murder. Of course, that's not what Jesus says, right? It's not a but as far as an antithesis. It is a but in terms of a deepening and understanding. You have heard it said, do not commit murder. But I say to you, if you are angry with your brother, you have already committed murder against him in your heart. Jesus is saying that is the deeper meaning, the deeper spiritual reality and application of that very basic, very short, very kind of direct word of God. The decree is, the commandment is, do not murder. But if you are going to stand here, says Jesus, you know, rhetorically, if you're going to stand here and say, well, I never killed anybody, I must be obeying the commandment. Hold on a minute. Let me teach you something about the commandment. Have you ever been angry with someone? Well, of course, everybody gets angry with someone, you know. I mean, well, that's what the commandment is talking about. It's not just talking about an external taking of someone's life, which, of course, is wrong and always wrong, and Jesus never says it's anything but wrong. But the deeper understanding is a respect for life. It is respect for another person, and you're not going to respect them. You're not going to be able to care for them. You're not going to be able to love your neighbor as you are called to do if you have anger in your heart against them. Jesus is teaching the deeper meaning, and that's what the psalmist is asking for. Okay, I can read the commandments. I can read the words, but how do they really apply to my life? And if Jesus comes and says to me, have you ever been angry with someone? Yeah. Well, now you're getting into the breaking of the commandment. Wow. I need to work on that commandment. I just can't go, I never killed anybody, not planning to kill anybody. I got number 6 down. Not a problem. No, Jesus says there's something deeper going on. Not in order to judge us or to convict us or to tell us that we're bad people or make us feel guilty, but to help us understand there's a depth to what God teaches in his word. That helps us to stay on the narrow way, to understand the depth. The narrow way is not just don't kill someone, but the narrow way is think about your anger and what it does to you in your relationship with that person. Verse 13, I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given me. Here, basically, I think the psalmist is saying, you know, I've hidden it in my heart, and I think about it, and I learn about it. I listen to people's teaching, but I also share it with others. I speak it out loud. I speak to others about what God has been saying to me, what I've been reading in His Word. In my own personal life, I spend a lot of time during the week preparing for a sermon, preparing for a Bible study or to teach a class. I spend a lot of time in God's Word, but it's inside of me. And it's a good Word, and it does things inside of me. And I try to do more with God's Word than just, well, how am I going to preach it, or how am I going to teach it, or what are some good questions for the Bible study? I want it also to make a difference in my life, and it does. I want it to be personal to me, not just a lesson plan, not just a sermon outline. But where the Word of God really, you know, even comes to life even more is when I begin to speak it out loud, when I do what I'm doing right now. Oftentimes, I am up here sharing something with you, and at the end of the service, after I think a little bit about my sermon, I realize that there are things that I've shared that I hadn't even thought about during the last week. God is taking His Word and revealing things to me even as I am speaking it to you through the Holy Spirit. The Word is becoming even more alive as I share it, or as I share it teaching a class. And one of the benefits of teaching in class is people can actually ask questions. We have dialogue back and forth, and things are brought up that I never thought of. The Word is enriched as it is taught, or in a Bible study, as people share their own impressions of whatever scripture we're dealing with. The psalmist says, when I begin to speak it out loud, then it becomes even more deeper and becomes even anchored more solidly in my life. And that helps me to obey it as I would like to do. It helps me to be willing to stay on the narrow path. I have rejoiced in your laws, verse 14, as much as in riches. There's a lot of things in the world that are appealing. There are a lot of good things that money can buy. The riches of the world are out there before us. But what he's saying is that God's Word is a richness in his life that goes beyond worldly riches. It is a richness that brings into his life a satisfaction for his soul. You know, if you have worldly riches, you can go out and buy food, and that satisfies your hunger. You can go buy a house, and that satisfies your need for shelter, and et cetera, et cetera. But what is going to satisfy the deep need, the deep hunger of your soul? What's going to fill that emptiness that is within you because you are searching for something? It's the richness of God's Word. And so he says, I consider this to be more rich, if you will, to be a greater treasure than all the riches of the world. You know, if you walked out of church today and you walked down the sidewalk and you saw a $10 bill, I'm pretty sure I know what you would do. You would pick it up. You might look around and hopefully not seeing anybody else looking for a $10 bill, you'd stick in your pocket and say, that's my lucky day. I mean, you can't find who the person is. They probably didn't write their name on it. You're not stealing, but it's kind of, you're not just going to walk past it. But how often do we take the Word of God, and most all of us have it in our homes, and if you don't, please take a pew Bible. We have plenty, I guarantee you. There's no reason that anyone cannot have the Bible in your home, but how often do you just walk by it? How often do you ignore it? The psalmist says it's richer than any $10 bill or anything else that you can think of. Don't just walk by it. Don't just ignore it. Stop. Pick it up. And begin to read it and begin to make it yours, and it'll become to you richer than anything else that you experience in this life. Verse 15, I will study your commandments. I will reflect on your ways. Another word that's used to translate that is meditate. It might be in your translation if you have a different translation. To meditate. To study, to reflect, not just to read, but to think deeply. When I was 8 years old, I spent a summer on a dairy farm in Denmark, and a dairy farm had a lot of cows, so I spent a lot of time looking at cows and learning about cows. And one of the things I noticed is that they would spend most of their days lying out in the fields chewing. And as best I could tell, what are they chewing? You know, and the farmer explained, well, early in the day, they'd eaten a bunch of grass, and it went into their stomach, and now they were regurgitating it and chewing on it. I go, ooh, that's disgusting, you know? But the farmer explained, no, that's what they do, because when they're eating grass, all they're doing is just swallowing really fast. It just goes into their stomach. But now, in order to bring out the nutrients that they really need in the grass, in order for the grass to be fully functional within their system to be able to supply everything they need, they bring it back up. That's how God created them. And they spend most of their day just chewing the cud, as it's called. And that releases everything they need, so that it is useful for what it means to be a cow, and the primary purpose of those cows was to give milk. And the only way they could give rich milk was if they would spend a lot of time chewing their cud, just laying around chewing. And that's a great image, I think, for the Bible. You know, this isn't to be fast food for us. This is not a little five-minute fix in the morning, like running by McDonald's and getting a breakfast muffin because you don't have time to make anything else. The Bible can't just be a snack for us. It needs to be something that, yes, we read, but then we chew on, we think about. And if you spend a little bit of time in the morning reading God's Word, then you can be spending time the rest of the day thinking about it. Maybe you don't have the luxury of laying in a field somewhere doing it, but even in a busy day, you still have time, maybe in your car, maybe taking a break during the day, thinking about, praying about what it is that you have read. I have studied your commandments. I have reflected on your ways. And that has helped me to obey. That has helped me to stay where you wanted me to be. That has helped to keep me from wandering off into places where sin and its consequences are going to make my life something I don't want it to be. Verse 16, I will delight in your decrees. I delight in your rules, in your commandments, in your law. And we go, oh, okay, all right. I mean, okay, I'm supposed to read the Bible. I'm supposed to study. I'm supposed to think about it. I'm supposed to do it. I'm supposed to have a good attitude. But come on, delight in your word? Really? Is that the word you want to use, delight? I can think a lot of things I delight in, but reading God's, I don't know that I delight in it. In fact, I think oftentimes, if we're honest with ourselves, we chafe a little bit at it. We just get a little bit irritated at the rules and the regulations and the commandments. We start coming up with excuses for why we shouldn't have to follow them. Well, this was written so long ago, but we're much more sophisticated today, and blah, blah, blah. And we don't really like the rules, if we're honest with ourselves. But remember, he's not sitting down on day one that he started reading his Bible and wrote out this psalm. This is someone who probably has lived a lifetime, 30, 40, 50 years of reading, studying, chewing on, thinking about the Word of God. It has become a delight for him. I hope it becomes a delight for you also at some point in your life, if it is not now. But it is never going to be a delight if you're not willing to pick it up and begin reading it. At first, it may be hard. At first, when you get up in the morning, you'd rather do something else, including sleeping a little bit longer than getting up to read the Bible. You know, the newspaper or the internet seems more interesting and more relevant than the Bible. You know, how much time do you spend, you know, watching news shows or looking at your phone or whatever during the day, the news of the world, versus how much time are we spending in God's Word? It's hard. It is hard. And we don't delight in it from the get-go. But if we are willing to spend time with it, then it will become a delight. That was the experience of the psalmist. That's been the experience of my life. The reason that I'm a pastor, number one, is God called me, or if you will, God told me that's what he wanted me to do. That is why I'm a pastor. But in doing that, God also gave me a love for his word. I have never had a problem spending time in the Bible. And those of you who know me or getting to know me, you know that. That's what I love to do more than anything else. Is the Bible. That is such a focus for me. That's why we have a Bible reading plan. That's why I write devotionals every week. I spend time in God's Word, not because it's my job, because this is what I love to do. I am glad that God has given that to me. I believe that is a gift. There are many, many people, including my own three sons, who don't love the Bible. All the time that I spent with them and sharing with them and so on, they're not where I am. And I had to learn early on not to expect that. But I think that they appreciate the Bible more because that I have tried to share it with them as my dad shared it with me. But I pray constantly that I would know God's love for me through his word, that the Word is not just something to study and to preach and to teach and to prepare Bible studies, but it is something that brings me closer to Him. When I hide the Word of God in my heart, I am getting to know God. I am getting to know God's heart. For what He reveals here is the core of who He is. If I want to have a close personal relationship with God, I have to get to know Him. And this is how I get to know Him, including getting to know some of the harder things like the commandments, the rules, the obedience, the narrow way part, which is not as appealing as some of the others. But the psalmist says, I've spent time here. I've read it. I've studied it. I've meditated on it. And now I have come to delight in it. And I believe that for anyone who is willing to work in the Word of God and to spend time in the Word of God, it will become a delight for them as well. One more story about growing up. One of the things I remember about my mom, especially when I balked at doing things that she asked me to do, she said, Stephen, I knew I was in trouble whenever she did that. Stephen, it's not that you can't, it's that you won't. All of us can spend time in God's Word. All of us can follow the example of the psalmist. The question is, will we? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. It is an incredible gift that You have given to us, that the God of the universe is willing to reveal Himself to us in this way, in a Word that we have, that we can read, that we can study. That we, in this day and age, living in America, we have the freedom. We can have multiple versions. We can have commentaries. We can have study Bibles. We can Google. We can do all kinds of things, Lord, around Your Word. But none of it will do us any good if our attitude towards Your Word is not that of delight. It will not do us any good if we are not committed to obedience. It will not do us any good unless we are committed to walking that path that it lays out before us. You have shared Your heart with us, and we desire to be close to You and close to Your heart. How could we do that, Lord, and ignore Your Word at the same time? So use Your Word to draw us closer to You, we pray. May we spend time in it because we can and because we want to. In Jesus' name, amen.